Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
You know our trusted partner TireRack.com for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Kumho Majesty 9 Solus TA91. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The Volume.
Just a reminder, you can catch me recording this podcast live on AMP. AMP is a new live radio app that lets you call in and chat with me in person while recording. Get the app on Apple's App Store and make sure you follow me at John Middlecoff to get notified when I go live.
What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, Three and Out Podcast. Hopefully everyone's having a good Wednesday. We are a day away from football. Yesterday, because of Labor Day weekend, some audio, the podcast got loaded, and then it was below the Collins feed. I did a podcast for Tuesday, so if you haven't listened to that, it was loaded and unloaded and then loaded back on. Go check that out. A lot of reacting to college football weekend. Obviously, the two guys holding out, which if you're listening to this, who knows? Maybe one of them signed. Doesn't feel like it, but you never know. And then a lot of my thoughts on from Deion Sanders to Florida State and just the college quarterbacks in general. Today, I thought I'd just hit some of the headlines I'm most fired up about this season. So I just rattled through about 10 to 15 headlines in no order of just things that I'm excited about, not just this weekend, but for the entire season. And just some themes, things we're keeping an eye on, things that excite me. So that is the plan today. And then probably the plan tomorrow will be I'll make my picks, because I guess you got to make your picks, right? Pick the divisions, pick some wild cards, my Super Bowl, and probably do a mailbag as well. So at John Middlecoff is the Instagram, firing those DMs. So I'll pick the league because we got to do that before, you know, the first game. Obviously, the Chiefs got the little injury news today and the new mailbag. And then for Friday's pod, we'll probably talk about the games. Stucky's coming back from the Action Network to do a little betting segment because, you know, we like to gamble in these parts. And we all got a little Billy Walters, Phil Mickelson in us. So we'll talk the games come Friday as well as the game Stucky loves to gamble on because try to make us some money. And other than that, a lot of content this week. We'll have a podcast Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, gambling Friday, as well as reacting to Thursday night's game. Football's back. It just doesn't get any better. You can smell it in the air. Summer, not quite over yet. So we're not kicking summer to the curve, but football transitions in the end of summer into fall, which is just the best time of year, especially if you live in Arizona when it's going to be 80 degrees for the next 6 months. So buckle up, get out your sandals, and let's enjoy ourselves. Before we dive into the podcast, what I need you to do, go to your smartphone, go to your iPad, and download a little app that goes by Game Time. They happen to be the official ticketing app of this podcast. I've gone to games. You should too. You want to go to an NFL game this year, no matter where you live, no matter if you're traveling and you go, I want to see my squad. I want to travel to see my squad. They have you covered. If you go to the Game Time app, sign up for a pair of tickets. Anything. Interactive map tells you the pricing, tells you the hot deals. Type in the promo code John. That's just my name. J-O-H-N. J-O-H-N. Promo code John and get $20 off a pair of tickets. College games, football games, concerts, comedy shows, you name it. Get out of the house. Go enjoy yourself. Do something fun and do it on me. These inflationary times, I'm saving you money. I got you. I don't even need a thank you. Just hammer that promo code, J-O-H-N, that's my name, $20 off. Any event you want to attend, do it and do it on me. Have fun. Okay, I just thought a little midweek before we get in probably tomorrow to pick the divisions, the wild cards, my Super Bowl picks, all that fun stuff. I thought, let's just write down a bunch of headlines, things that came to my mind, things that I've been thinking of, and just go through them. Things that I am most excited about, things that I'm definitely keeping a close eye on. And let's just talk about it because this season is going to be fantastic and a lot's going to happen. And this is what I'm looking forward to. First and foremost, as you know, like I don't just talk Cowboys to talk Cowboys. That's not the business I am in. Though they are a pretty massive story. When you listen tomorrow, I think I'm going to pick them to win the division. I think they are a fantastic squad. I think they have a chance to have the number one defense. I think offensively, clearly they have a lot of weapons. Obviously, Dak last year led the league in turnovers. They made a pretty, I don't want to say crazy, but an eye-opening offseason move. Mike McCarthy did not want Kellen Moore there anymore. And Kellen Moore, a Jerry guy, someone that the Cowboys haven't just been loyal to, but clearly really like, kind of forced upon McCarthy, allowed Mike to kind of, you know, in mafia terms, whack him. Say, Kellen, you're not calling the plays anymore. Go find another job. They didn't fire him, but they kind of fired him. Now, Kellen Moore was well thought of around the league. He would have landed in countless places. And he went to a place that I am very excited to watch him. Because I think Justin Herbert has, I don't think I'm alone on this, the talent to be like an MVP in the NFL. And if you turn a quarterback, Justin Herbert, who we already think is really good, he's a Pro Bowl level player, into an MVP, with some of his offensive stats and what he did in Dallas, like Kellen Moore's going to be a head coach. Now, I'm not a Brandon Staley guy. I think he's kind of a phony and a fraud. Not that he's not, like, doesn't understand NFL defenses and he didn't learn from Vic Fangio and he doesn't understand X's and O's. I just think the way he talks, he's acting like he thinks a head coach should act. It doesn't feel natural to him. Like, when I watch Mike Vrabel talk or Pete Carroll talk or Sean Payton talk or just go around the league, Brian Daboll, they're very comfortable in their own skin. When I watch Brandon Staley talk, I feel like a guy that has watched a lot of coaching videos on YouTube. Like, oh, that's how it's supposed to sound. And then I watch him coach and I go, I'm out. Now, I think that, I know, the Spanoses love a coach that doesn't cost $15 million. And you can already see this coming from a mile away. Kellen Moore being the next head coach of the Chargers. Now, when it comes to the Cowboys, if the Chargers are having a lot of success offensively, he's going to be judged offensively, not just how much success they're having, but also against Kellen Moore. So I think there is extra pressure on Mike. Now, I think they're going to be good. Really, defensively, and Dak's good enough. Like I think he can close his eyes and win 10, 11 games. I think they got a chance to win 13. So this might just be a win-win situation. Kellen goes to the Chargers, inevitably becomes the next Charger head coach. McCarthy does a pretty good job calling the plays. They compete to win the division. I'm going to pick them to win the division. And all's happy. But if Kellen goes to have success, which I don't see how he's not going to. Now, I don't know how high the Chargers are going to go. Like, in theory, if I gave the Chargers Andy Reid, I'd be like, they're winning the Super Bowl. I mean, that's if I gave him Belichick, if I gave him a top-flight coach, I would pick the Chargers to win the Super Bowl. But I made that mistake last year. Like, they're a playoff team because of the talent they have. But as long as Brandon Staley is the guy making the decisions throughout a game, I'm sorry, I'm out in a big spot. Doesn't mean they can't win 11, 12 games, but I think offensively, Kellen Moore is going to shine, and I think the Cowboys, but they're going to be directly intersected. It's not as crazy because of the history is not as long, but anytime you get into a breakup, we saw it with Belichick and Brady, you just judge the other based on the other's success. And that's something that both the teams, obviously you're the Cowboys, you're the biggest brand in the NFL, and Herbert and the Chargers are just, they're actually much more of a national story than they ever are locally. Just fascinated to watch that play out. I learned my lesson last year. Is I was like, you know, I think the two of the worst teams in the league are going to be the Giants and Seattle. One of those two teams is probably going to draft number one overall, and the other is going to be drafted, you know, in the top five. Both of them made the playoffs. I mean, both of them had fantastic years. Daboll was coach of the year. You easily could have given it to Pete. Pete had one of the moments of the year where he beat Russell Wilson on opening night, Monday Night Football. But I think when you look at the Giants, they had, I don't want to say a weird offseason, but they just made a move that fans reacted to in a negative manner, right? They gave Daniel Jones $40 million a year. Now, it's not like they gave him a 7-year contract. It's basically a 2-year deal. But they did guarantee him over $80 million. Now, I believe that he's going to continue to improve. I told Colin this, and I've talked about this for a while. I kind of view him much closer to an Alex Smith. Where Alex, as he got around Harbaugh and as he got around Andy Reid, his career just ascended. He just kept getting better. Now, he was flawed. He was never going to be a top five quarterback, but he was a really good player who could help you win 11, 12 games, and you could make the playoffs all the time. And I think that's what Daniel Jones will be. Also, I don't know if you saw, but Alex, I saw a story yesterday about his daughter is dealing with brain cancer issues, and they basically live scan to scan. It's just, you talk about something that'll move you on the insides. That's, I can't even imagine. So, you know, it's just, speaking of Alex, just prayers out to that guy and his family. They clearly went through a lot with his leg, but nothing compares to going through something like that with a child. That just, that hurts your heart. But like I said, I think the Giants have a chance to have some similarities. They don't have as much talent, but as some of those like Andy Reid, Harbaugh, Alex Smith teams. And I think they're going to be better than they were last year. Now, I'm not picking them to win 13, 14 games, but they were a 9-win team that felt like a 9-win team. They won a lot of crazy close games. To me, this year, they feel like a 10-7 team, but like a real team. Like a team, I know they beat the Vikings in the playoffs last year, but the Vikings were the biggest frauds. Like a team that, you know, could just give Dallas, give the Niners, give the Eagles a scare. I expect the Giants, maybe their win-loss record to not be that much different, but them to look different, them to be more explosive on offense, them just be a consistent squad. So, and I think there's a lot of pressure. Anytime you give the quarterback money like that, where a lot of people don't think he's worth money, if it doesn't go right, bow and arrows are out, man. You're going to get criticized to the high heavens, and rightfully so, because you made a bold move, and I understood why they did it. I probably would have gone about it a little differently. I think I just would have let him hit the open market and probably got him for less, but who knows? Maybe they knew the Giants or someone would have paid him, but I think that's going to be fascinating. I think we all agree that top to bottom, as I'm recording this, there was some news today about Travis Kelce hurt his knee. Hyperextension. You know, I think that's more than questionable now for Thursday night. I know he's officially questionable, but that's not good. Obviously, Chris Jones is nowhere to be found, but they're the champs. And you're going to have some issues, but until someone beats Andy and Mahomes, I mean, really only the Bengals have in the last several years in a big game, you know, in the AFC at least, you got to pick them. And I think when you look around the AFC, like, who's going to be their legit foe? I mentioned earlier with the Chargers. Like, the Chargers can beat them in a regular season game. They've definitely played them close over the last couple of years. But I'm sorry. Like, I can't take Brandon Staley to take down Andy and Mahomes. It's just not going to happen. I like the Steelers a lot. I think the Steelers are going to be really good from a gambling perspective. Love them week one. You know, the Ravens, major question mark, new offense. But they're always just a consistent organization. You look at the AFC East, I mean, I think the Jets, their defense is going to be elite. I think their running game is going to be awesome. The Bills have always been, you know, been pretty consistently good now for 3+ years. The Bengals, it's just the AFC is tough. But is this the year that one of those teams, you know, takes them down? Do the Chiefs not even make it to the AFC Championship game? Are we looking at an AFC Championship game that's like Bengals-Bills or Bengals-Jets or Bills-Steelers? You know, I mean, I do think that's in play, and I'm not overreacting to Chris Jones being MIA and Travis Kelce being injured, but, you know, it's even the Patriots in the Brady-Belichick run didn't make it to the AFC Championship game every year. They lost occasionally. I think the Ravens one time, the Broncos one time, definitely the Jets the one time in the second round of the playoffs. It's just hard. You know, everyone's gunning for you. And there are several teams, I think, obviously the Chiefs, I would say the Eagles and the 49ers, even though they did not win the Super Bowl, or just get treated like the hunted. And anytime the Chiefs are used to it. I mean, they've been the hunted now for over half a decade, really since Mahomes started playing that first year. Everyone's gunning for him. But that's what makes Belichick and Brady were hunted for two decades. When you're elite at your job, which Andy and Mahomes are, you just give them the benefit of the doubt. But it gets harder and harder, you know, especially they got a lot of young players. Now, those guys got playing time last year, but your margin for error with your receiving core being a little bit of a question mark. You have a freak injury like Travis gets hurt at practice and Chris Jones, you know, wants who knows how much money. It just you might have a difficult year. And when I say difficult year, like maybe they win 11 games. Maybe they don't win the division. I don't know. But I'm fascinated to watch the AFC, the hierarchy, if anyone can take them down, knock them down from their perch, and really just kind of grab the conference. I like the Steelers a lot. And I think I'm going to end up, you know, I got off the scent, but I don't know. If your defense is awesome and you can run the ball, you're just going to be good. I like the Jets. Speaking of the AFC, I read a long article from Seth Wickersham, who's written, I don't know how many articles over the years that I've read, just the in-depth, detailed pieces on Dan Snyder, on the Harbaugh breakup, on the Gruden email leak with the league office. He's just good. If he writes an article, I read it, even if I don't care about the subjects as much in it. And he just wrote a fantastic article on Sean Payton, who was just a fascinating individual. Part of the article was like, Sean Payton, I remember when I was scouting and I went to Washington State, RIP Mike Leach, and I remember talking to not Brian Harsin, but I forget the guy's name. He was the guy that LeGarrette Blount knocked out on Boise State, the defensive lineman who was coaching for Leach. He was like the quality control guy for him. And I was just picking his brain about Mike Leach. He's like, the crazy part is, he's like, Leach doesn't get into like 11 or noon, but he'll stay till like 2 or 3 in the morning. He's a night owl. And that was part of this article about Sean Payton. Is he's like, he's not, you know, Coach Reed and Belichick, these guys are 5 a.m. they're grinding, right? But Sean Payton works till like 3 in the morning. He's more of a night guy. And part of why he burned out with the Saints is needed to take a deep breath. And he comes to the Denver Broncos, who have the richest ownership. They gave him almost $100 million. And let's face it, the big story is him and Russ. One of the quotes in there, which inject this into my veins, is Sean Payton told him, stop kissing babies. You're not running for office. Essentially, just be normal. Which I would say to Sean, like, he ain't faking it. He's just kind of a weirdo. Like, some politicians are not actually, that's just who they are. They just act like a phony 24/7, 365. Just in their DNA. I don't think they can turn it off, right? I don't know if Russell can turn it off. There's no changing at this point. So to me, the question is, can he make him into a good player? And a huge part of the Saints' success was rhythm, timing, play in the pocket. That was Drew Brees. He was a short quarterback, but he was not some mobile making plays on his feet. He was a pocket quarterback. And that has never been Russell's thing. Not that he can't have success from the pocket, but a lot of his success came from freelancing outside the tackle box and making plays on the run and throwing bombs as he's moving. And he was, you could argue, one of the best of all time at that. And I think the question mark is, can you get back to 2 or 3 years ago, mobile Russ? Or did Pete Carroll and John Schneider nail that one? When they went, yeah, we're short in this stock, take it. And they thought about trading him in 2018, and they pulled the trigger last year. And let's face it, they look really smart. Because I think, and I'm not alone, I'm guilty of this too, we get conditioned now. And it was like this with ACL injuries. The moment Adrian Peterson returned from his ACL injury in like 3 months, we're like, ah, everyone, 6 months max, tear your knee, you're back, better than ever, you look quicker. It's like for every guy that comes back from Tommy John, it's like, he was throwing 93, now he's throwing 98. A lot of guys never look the same. A lot of guys get injured again. So just because Brady and some of these guys played in their 40s, Rodgers is 40, Peyton Manning and some of those guys played till basically they were 40. When I was a kid, and most of the history of sports, guys' careers started turning in their early 30s. Now, because of training, diet, that 33-34 should turn into 38-39-40. Like, I'm not acting like we're ever going back there. Think of the pictures you see. You know, like when you see a picture of your grandpa, or if your dad, depending on how old your dad is, or an uncle or someone in like the 70s or the 60s, you're like, oh, he was 28 there. He was 32. You're like, God, he looks like he was 50. You know, you see some of those pictures from like the 40s. You're like, yeah, that guy was 28. You're like, that guy looks 60. So clearly we look younger now. We're healthier. We're much more active. But I just wonder if Russell Style, like, if he can get it back. Because Mike Sando, in his quarterback tier article that he's been writing for years, I heard him on an interview when this year's came out, and he said for three straight years, Russell started trending down, started getting less votes. Usually you don't just all of a sudden throw back. Like, Aaron Rodgers had a rough 2019 for his standards, but he still wasn't that bad. So then when he bangs out multiple MVPs, it was like he actually wasn't that far away. Like, Russell is pretty far removed from like 15, 16, 17, 18, just kicking everyone's ass and looking like, you know, a first ballot Hall of Famer. The guy we've seen the last couple of years was pretty ugly. And I think Seattle fans have kind of said that. Like, I've gotten a lot of DMs that are like, if you really watch Russell, you know, a couple years ago when he was with us, it didn't quite look the same. And I don't know if that was just like, I want to be like Brady or Manning. That's how I want to play. Like, that's not how you're going to play. The problem is Sean Payton, like, that's kind of how he had success with the pocket quarterback. Now, he's an innovative offensive mind. He aspired to turn Taysom Hill into some quarterback, even though that was never going to work. But that tells me he wanted a mobile guy. The other thing is, Sean Payton's kind of crazy, man. Like, he is, I don't want to call him negative, but if you read the article, he's just not afraid to make people uncomfortable. Pete Carroll, if you listen to the podcast he did with Richard Sherman, Pete Carroll is a positive guy. Pete Carroll is an uplifting guy. And part of the reason Pete Carroll really took off at USC is he read the John Wooden book and just realized, like, I got to be true to who I am. I'm not Bill Parcells. I'm not Belichick. I'm not some curmudgeon. I'm not some natural asshole. Some coaches are natural assholes. It comes easy to them. It doesn't mean that they don't feel bad when they cross the line or whatever, but Sean Payton and Pete Carroll are on the opposite ends of the spectrum with how they coach, right? Doesn't mean they're both not really good coaches, but Sean Payton is a candid, dropping F-bombs in your ass. So if it does get weird, in week one's pretty interesting game, Broncos Raiders, right? So someone is, it's going to feel like a disaster. So Sean Payton, Russell Wilson's relationship, both guys are stupid rich. I mean, Sean Payton's been making 10 plus million for a decade, and now he makes 18. Russell signed multiple big contracts. Usually the more money you get, your ego and your belief in yourself doesn't drop. That's not the way it works in the world. More money you make, the more success you make, even if you've been humble. And Russell last year was humble, but not humbled enough to be like, I got to start at ground zero. I know he lost some weight, and everyone's like, he's a little slimmer. And in the preseason game I watched against the Niners, he definitely was a little lighter on his feet. But is he actually going to run? Is he really going to run? Does he not want to get hit anymore? Not that he ever got peppered, because he's always been a pretty good slider for him, baseball player. But that one interests me. I mean, the last time they got a guy to come in that organization and really shake it up, it was just like not afraid to make people uncomfortable, was Elway at the Tebow era. And then they got Peyton Manning, and the rest is history. And it's not going to be as easy of a transition given how much they're paying Russell. Like, they could just get away from Tebow. They can't really just get away from Russell. So I know a lot of people have thought that, like, if it doesn't go well, he'll just move on. I just don't know how you move on. Speaking of some veteran quarterbacks, you know, for a long time, Russell wasn't that polarizing. We all just acknowledged that he was a really good player. Two quarterbacks to me that, beside Dak and Cousins, that have been the most polarizing quarterbacks, and that's just the nature of being, you know, between the 10 and 15 mark, kind of being, you know, better than middle of the road, but not good enough to be viewed as an elite player, is Jimmy G and Derek Carr. And I looked it up before I pressed record. Jimmy G has made $125 million. And Derek Carr has made $135 million. These guys, when this season ends, combined earnings will be over $300 million. And I think if you just ask the average fan, they would say both guys are kind of below average. I think both guys have low approval ratings right now, just in terms of being good players. Here's what I'll say about Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I've seen him. Now, his team was really good, and his play caller was really good. but he's been a part of a lot of wins in his career. And Derek, like, I had a front row seat for the Raiders when they were in Oakland. Like, it was a circus. Like, it can be not the easiest place to just operate if you're a normal, successful individual. It can eat you alive, right? And I saw Derek handle it pretty seamlessly. Now, both guys, clearly Kyle was over him and Josh McDaniels was over Derek. They get pretty big contracts. Jimmy's making 25 this year. Derek's making 30. Both have a chance to kind of, I don't want to say resurrect their career. Derek definitely does, actually. I mean, if you can just get Dennis Allen, whose career record's pretty terrible. Now, granted, in Oakland, it was hard. Last year with the Saints was pretty embarrassing. I know their quarterback situation was kind of in flux, but if Derek can get the Saints back to the playoffs, as he should, they should win the division. I'm sure if you've listened to anyone talk about football, they've gone over their opponents. Their quarterbacks are playing are pretty bad. Honestly, they should win 11 games minimum. And if he does that, like, it'd be a pretty big muscle flex for Derek. Somehow he got the Raiders back to the playoffs a couple times during his tenure. And then he goes to the Saints that, you know, had fallen on some hard times and helps them get back to the playoffs. And same thing with Jimmy G, right? It would be big for Josh McDaniels, who for a long time was, once he kind of got the Denver stink off of him, they were having success again in New England. People wanted to hire him. And the Indy thing happens. He kept turning people down. I thought, and listen, I might have been naive's the wrong way to put it, but just assumed that he had figured it out. I'd be like, I think Josh McDaniels is going to be a good head coach. And then last year, like, I don't know, man. You're getting Derek off a really good year. You got a lot of good players. What the hell was that? So if Jim and Jimmy Garoppolo compete to get a wild card spot, they win 9-10 games, be a pretty big moment for both guys.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. They help you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else. Did you know 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites? LinkedIn's the only one I use. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/john. That's linkedin.com/john to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
One thing that's going to be a point of discussion all season long is tanking. And the NFL is not the NBA where, you know, you intentionally tank. Greg Popovich has done that for like 5 years. Absolute embarrassment. Obviously, Sam Hinkie did it for a long time. A ton of teams do it. And it's got to stink on the NBA, to be honest with you. Because people that the most valuable thing any of these leagues have is their games and the time us as fans give those games. And when you turn on the games and the teams say, we don't give a shit about the product, you're basically just a middle finger to us, the consumer, who literally pay the bills. So I think the good part about the NFL is even if you suck, it's not like coaches, say this about Arizona, who I defended for cutting Colt McCoy. Most people online acted like they just cut Peyton Manning in his prime. Colt McCoy has started like 10 games in a decade. Like, let's not act like he's any good. But the Cardinals roster sucks. They were terrible last year and they were trying to win. A lot of teams that try to win are also bad. It's not like Jonathan Gannon and his coaching staff are going to work 3-hour workdays. They're going to try to win games. Now, maybe by the end of the season, they're just so bad, it won't even matter. But no one truly tanks in the NFL. The Cardinals are going to lose games because they're really bad. Now, I think the curveball in this season is the talent at quarterback in college football. A huge part, like, there's no point to tank if there aren't sweet players. I'm all for losing games in December if you got 2 or 3 wins and there are incredible players in the draft, which, based on a couple weeks in the college football season, technically just one. I know it's week 2 coming up, but week 0, I don't count. There is going to be a lot of talent in this draft at quarterback and in other positions. But I think the word tanking and the tank for Caleb and Drake May and Penix and just the countless quarterbacks, if I had to guess right now, I would say 6 quarterbacks go in the top 50 of this upcoming draft. So it's a very, very good quarterback draft. And anytime you have a good quarterback draft, the bad teams get associated with those guys. Now, what makes it unique with Arizona is they got Kyler Murray. And I know Lombardi made some waves last week when he talked about them not playing him because of the injury guarantees. The Cardinals named Kyler Murray a captain. And my spidey senses went off. Do you know what they want to do? They want to improve his value around the league. And they can't do that because he can't play right now because he doesn't have a torn ACL anymore, but he's recovering off that injury. So the only way you can increase his value around the league is act like he's doing the right things. And listen, I'm not saying he's not doing the right things. He's probably attempting to be a really good guy, to come in early, maybe even watch a little film. But when you name him a team captain, you're kind of saying, listen, he's turned a new leaf, better guy, come get him. Because I'll promise you this, if they can get out of that contract, they will get out of that contract so fast your head would spin. And I don't know if they end up playing him this year. I would imagine they don't. Now, Kyler can make it a stink really fast. But Kyler has to balance of making a stink and just if they leak, I want to play. That doesn't make Kyler look like a bad guy. That would turn it on Arizona. So things could get very weird. But if they are headed toward the number one overall pick, like that is a pretty valuable thing. But having the number one overall pick or having the number two overall pick, you could argue you're going to get a star quarterback no matter what. So I think the Kyler situation is going to be very fascinating. If they can kind of rehab his image, and even if he doesn't play this year, he's fully healthy, he's going to have a trade market. He was the number one overall pick, whatever, 4 years ago. He is a remarkable talent. When he's been healthy, listen, I'm not a huge fan, but I've never disputed how talented he is. I'm not a Trey Lance fan because I don't think the guy can play. I know Kyler Murray can play. Like, Kyler Murray is not just an NFL player. When he's right, he's a high-end NFL player. Now, more comes with that at quarterback. But teams are desperate for quarterbacks. And one thing Kyler Murray would give you would some life with your franchise and the potential. He's proven like he can lead a team to the playoffs. That's something that none of these quarterbacks in the draft are going to be able to say. Now, I would much rather have one of the guys in the draft when you factor in their contract than taking on Kyler Murray's whatever he has left, $150 million. And, you know, just still some of the question mark. I don't think you just all of a sudden you're some film guru. But that's definitely a storyline that is just going to be all season long. I also think some other teams are going to throw their hat in the ring, right? Is Houston any good? I mean, I think Houston, in theory, they should be improved, but who knows? Maybe they're competing to be a top team. I think Carolina is going to stink. Their offensive line, if they can't block anybody, they don't have any weapons, that could be a disaster. the Rams, I have them circled for being god-awful. And people are already talking about it, and rightfully so. Are they a team that could trade Aaron Donald? Why not? Blow the thing up. Compete to get Caleb Williams. You don't think Stan Kroenke, who just a couple years built the stadium, then he wins the Super Bowl, wouldn't mind a big star again with his franchise? So I think I got them circled big time. I do think two teams, I mentioned them a little earlier. You know, in the AFC, there's so many, you know, the Rodgers story is kind of played out at this point because of Hard Knocks. We've been talking about it for 6 months straight. The AFC East is going to be a fascinating division. And beside the Chiefs, there are clearly six, seven teams who we probably feel can compete to not just make the championship game, but represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. That is not the case in the NFC, right? Honestly, I would imagine if you talk to most people, they wouldn't even include the Cowboys. I do. But the two teams that they'd be like, ah, could see a rematch, right? Eagles, 49ers. Well, here's what I know about both teams. They're going to get treated like they're a champion-level team by every team that plays them. So every team that plays them is going to approach them like, I mean, it's one of the biggest games for their season, right? When you're playing the 49ers and you're playing the Eagles. And Kyle, like, kind of went in all in on Purdy. And I don't blame him. Purdy was easily the best quarterback he's had since he was with the 49ers. When they got Purdy with Christian McCaffrey, they were scoring well over 30 points a game. I saw Mike Tomlin say that the difference when Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy was a 10-point difference. Or maybe it was when they acquired Christian McCaffrey. But then, you know, Brock Purdy got the majority of Christian McCaffrey. They were averaging 30 points a game. Are those teams just going to keep the train on the tracks and just be 12, 13, 14 win team? No problem. Because I've seen the 49ers. Shit can get weird quick. The Eagles. And they got two new coordinators. Jalen, they gave all this money. Now, I bet on Jalen. I think he's the type of guy you bet on. But we'll, you know, there's going to be a ton of pressure on him. And their division is really, really difficult. If Washington is the worst team in your division, you have a fantastic division. The talent on that team is, I mean, pretty freaking loaded. Whoever, when they fire Ron Rivera at the end of the year and they hire someone, like, it's a pretty desirable job. Get a quarterback, you figure it out, and you start rolling because they got talent. And they beat the Eagles last year. So I think those two teams fending people off, even though the NFC is clearly not as talented as the AFC, is going to be just, when the Eagles and 49ers play, I mean, we're all paying attention. They're clearly two of the biggest draws in the NFL, and they clearly have two of the best rosters in the NFL, if not the two best rosters. So I'm just fascinated to watch those two teams. Speaking about a roster that is just incredible job retooling it, their draft last year hit it out of the park. I think the question with Seattle is, because player for player, skill guys, high-end players, young tackles, they got some good young defenders, they get Bobby Wagner back, the roster's legit. Is Geno Smith just back? He's just going to be a consistent Pro Bowl-level guy? Because I'm 38 years old, been watching the NFL for a long time. Is that just the way the NFL works? A guy like this, just shitty, bad, backup, and then all of a sudden gets in his early 30s, gets an opportunity to start, goes on a four-year run. Last guy I can remember that happening to was Rich Gannon. Now, he went on to win an MVP and was, you know, remarkable for the Raiders, but if Geno pulls this off and just maintains a high level of play, and anytime you hear him interviewed or talk, it's very understandable how he maximized his career. His mindset, his outlook on life / the game, how good of a teammate, what a high-level guy. He's an easy individual to root for. I've never heard him talk since he took over at Seattle and was like, God, I really like Geno Smith. But from a football standpoint, it's not that normal to do what he's doing. So last year, in some big moments, like, didn't quite look the same. Now, they add the Ohio State wide receiver. They add another running back. Their offensive line should be really good. They got DK, who's a stud. Lockett feels like the most underrated player of the last decade in the NFL. It's all there for him, man. But if he keeps doing it, it's one of truly the great comeback stories we've ever seen. And like Geno said, they wrote me off. I just didn't write back. It's hard to beat that line. Speaking of another quarterback who took the league by storm, he just was, I mean, won the MVP, was just one of the more fun players to watch. I haven't played really video games since I was in college, but if I still played video games, 3-4 years ago, I would have been the Ravens. And I would have ran around with Lamar Jackson until you caught me. because I used to do that when I was in high school with Michael Vick. You'd be the Falcons, and you would be Michael Vick, and you would trade for a sweet wide receiver, and you would just run around. And it was awesome. Once you get paid this money, the team's mindset of you changes because they go, yeah, can I just, I don't want to just run you nonstop because I can't risk you getting injured because I'm paying you a ton of coin. You got guaranteed a lot of money. I need you. The health of our organization depends on you being healthy, on you being around, and you being successful. So part of Lamar now is like, is he just, are they going to have a throwing offense? I'm just fascinated to see what their offense looks like. Because forever, Todd Monken and everything coming out of the Ravens was like, we're going to pass more. We're going to spread it out. Are they just saying that? Or are they actually going to live it? Because coaches say a lot of things and then do another. Is it still going to have resemblance of what the offense looked like, you know, a couple years ago with, I would call it much more collegiate of their running attack? Or does their offense look much more like a lot of other NFL offenses? Clearly, he's still going to run and scramble, but is his running ability what they lean on? Or do they go 4 or 5 wide? And some of those could be tight ends, right? And just slinging around nonstop. It's going to be fascinating to watch. I mean, he's not really that polarizing because he's really one of the more likable guys, but just his situation last year with the injury, them not paying him, they finally pay him, they capitulate, now they're all on the same page, everything's hunky-dory, they add Odell Beckham, they draft a wide receiver last year, so we got Mark Andrews. I'm fascinated to watch the Ravens. I mean, that's the best part about the NFL. It's why it really shines, is so many teams are interesting. So many individual players are interesting. It's obviously a quarterback league. Speaking of quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins, last year of his contract, there were some rumors this offseason they thought about unloading him. Minnesota tried to trade for Trey Lance around the draft. The 49ers wouldn't do it. They actually, in a weird way, made the right decision because they ended up getting a better pick than Minnesota clearly would have given him out of Dallas. But it's pretty obvious that Minnesota does not want to give Cousins another contract, right? They don't want it because it's going to be more money than what he signed for previously. And it's like, do we want to give a guy at 35 years old 2 or 3 years at $43, $44 million. Kirk Cousins likes his money guaranteed. Now, here's the problem for the Vikings. How do you upgrade? It's a great quarterback draft, but your team's not going to suck. Even if you don't make the playoffs this year, you're not a 4-win team. You might not be a 13-win team, but you win 8 to 10 games, and that puts you in the middle ground. Now, it might be a deep enough quarterback draft. Do you draft one of those guys in the middle of the first round or, you know, pick 19 or 20 or whatever? But it is very, very hard to upgrade when you have that group, right? Starts with like Dak and Cousins or Cousins and Dak, Jimmy, Carr. We've seen it over and over and over. You don't upgrade. The 49ers attempted to do it, and Trey Lance couldn't sniff beating out Jimmy Garoppolo. Now he goes to the Cowboys. Dak Prescott's in a different universe than him. The Raiders get rid of Derek Carr. What'd they do? They had Jimmy Garoppolo. So those quarterbacks are all kind of the same because you can't just like, there's no just landing Trevor Lawrence. There's no just signing Justin Herbert, right? You usually don't get an opportunity to draft those guys, especially if you're not drafting the top 2 or 3 picks. So I do think Minnesota's in this weird spot where it feels like they've already moved on from Cousins. I would expect Cousins to have another really good statistical year. It's not like he's going to retire, but were they just going to let him walk? They're just going to say, see it? What the fuck are they going to do? How do you look at the fan base and go, listen, guys, we all acknowledge we would love to have one of the top 10 guys. But Cousins is like 11 or 12. He has his flaws, but he's clearly pretty good. If you watch the documentary on Netflix, he's actually pretty likable. He does, gives you everything he has to be as good as he can be at NFL football. I mean, literally dedicates his life, lays on the line, just seems like a hardworking, geeky, just the type guy you would want. You never have to worry about, yeah, we'll just move on. And do what? Trade for Kyler? Attempt to draft a guy at 19? Well, the chances, history of the league would say, this guy's not going to be as good as Cousins. So I do think they're kind of in this weird spot that I don't think we really have an answer to. And yeah, I mean, I can see this coming from a mile away. This isn't NFL, but this is college. And I think now with the amount of money that these colleges pay their coaches, like Texas, if Sark doesn't win this year, that job is going to become available either this year or next. So if Texas becomes available again, they're going to stop trying to get on this hamster wheel of hiring the Sarks and hiring the Tom Hermans. Like, they will offer $150 million, right? Florida. They call him Sunbelt Billy. That thing is a disaster right now. They got fucking worked by Utah. They didn't even, that thing didn't even look close. Now, he has a $30 million buyout. Does he last another year? Those are two jobs that even if they rolled it over, that's got Deion Sanders written all over it. Both those two teams are going to want to go big. Obviously, Texas will be in the SEC with Florida. Both those budgets have an enormous amount of money. Texas has more than Florida, but Florida is not afraid to pay. I got Deion Sanders. Like, I'm not rushing him out of Colorado. I think for sure, I don't know this. I mean, I'm just going to assume Shador is there for 2 years to play with Travis, to play with his dad, to play with his brother Shiloh. But I think Deion's going to come in such demand with the big boys. Or Texas, obviously, he lived in Dallas for a long time, played for the Cowboys. You know, and I do think, you know, if McCarthy thing ever got weird the next couple years, Prime might be the real deal. And sometimes people push back, and then it's just like, yeah, this is what it is. It has a little Jim Harbaugh feel to it. Like, yeah, he's a little quirky. He's different than all these other coaches. His shit works, right? So I already got a couple programs circled. The other thing, I read this article the other day from one of the big blogs at Ohio State. And one thing that it mentioned, because this guy was being very critical of Ryan Day, and Ohio State has five assistants, the two coordinators and three other assistants that make over $1 million. Their defensive coordinator makes about two. Hartline isn't even the offensive coordinator. He makes like 1.7. Their O-line, D-line coach both make $1 million. Obviously, Ryan Day makes a ton. That program pumps as much money into their football as most NFL teams. Clearly, Ohio State, I would put Ohio State, you might name them number one. Bam would be up there, I think Georgia now too, of just like, we operate like the NFL. There is no cost. We circumvent. Whatever you need, we got you. This means everything to us. And I know he made the playoffs last year and easily could have beat Georgia in a fantastic game. But he does not feel like Saban. He does not feel like Urban. He does not feel like he's just got the job forever. And he is a 9-3 season away from just people turning on him. And you get turned on, right? You can just suck at your job and people can move on from you. But the moment you start making a ton of money, if things are going well, no one thinks twice. You're earning that, right? You pay a premium for a premium. But you start getting paid a ton of money and things start getting weird. You're like, yeah, I don't know if this is working out. We might have to go in a different direction. And I just, to me, Sark and Billy Napier are different than Ryan Day. He's made the playoffs. He's had success. But their standard at Ohio State, you could argue, is just unfairly high. And that's a program with how much money everyone's cutting, with how much pressure there is. Now he's losing to Michigan. It's just something to keep an eye on. Now, I don't know, would they hire Prime in like 2 years if they moved on from Ryan Day? I don't know. Prime feels more like Texas or Florida, but who knows? I mean, they will, there's no amount of money they won't spend, really. So, I don't think we're that far away from potentially ever seeing like a coach in the NFL get stolen to college. Like, here's $20 million. Here's $20 million. Come take our job. It hasn't happened, and maybe it never does, but these colleges, especially the big boys, have budgets that can go toe-to-toe with the owners. Okay, that should do it till tomorrow's podcast leading in to the opening game. Chiefs hosting the Lions. Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, Mahomes, and maybe nobody else. Just Mahomes out there playing by himself. Travis Kelce injured. Chris Jones sitting on his couch. And all of us watching. So, I'd watch Patrick Mahomes throw passes to Andy Reid. Let's enjoy ourselves. Let's continue to have a good week. And thanks for listening. And check out, we got way more content coming today, tomorrow. Not stopping, baby. Football's back.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, The cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.